Turn with me to Matthew 11, 25 through 30, and I believe you'll find that in your pew Bibles on page 689. Matthew 11, starting at 25. At that time Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned, and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And indeed, we praise you, Father, for your word and for your grace. In your name, amen.
Thank you for sharing with us the gratefulness and the faithfulness of God. If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask you to please open up once again to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. Before I start into the message today, I would like to once again express gratitude for your kindness and your generosity last night. For those who performed, what a great job. Thank you to all of those who played their instruments and sang with their vocal instruments. That was an incredible, incredible moment. And we certainly thank you for that. And it's truly an honor to be able to serve alongside of you in this cause for Christ. And we thank you for that wonderful privilege. This morning, I would like to speak to you about the subject of Christ's call. As you look at the 28th verse of this particular chapter, Jesus is talking and he says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You see, what Jesus is talking about here is he is talking about those who are caught up in a world of sin. And in that world of sin, they become so struggling in their hearts and in their lives that they need to be able to rest in Him and find peace for their troubled souls. And so He is telling people, "Anyone, come to me." And, you know, this was quite a revolutionary message that Jesus was bringing during this time, and in particular, the place that He was bringing it. Because he is expressing that anyone is welcome to come to him, which totally goes against what the Jewish mindset was in that day. Those who were the chosen people of God had this tendency, especially among their leaders, to only want to have those who are Jews become a part of the known church at that time, or a part of the temple. And there was kind of a separation, even in the temple, when people would gather to worship. If there happened to be a Gentile who had converted to Judaism, although they were welcome, there was a special area in the temple where they were allowed to go, and they weren't allowed to go in the front section. Those of you who are seated in the back section, you would have been looked at as Gentile converts. You wouldn't have been allowed up here with the special folk. But that was kind of the mindset. And as Jesus is issuing this call to spiritual life, he includes everyone. Everyone. It didn't matter to him whether a person was Jewish or Gentile. It didn't matter to him if they were black or if they were white, if they were purple or green. See, Kermit the Frog would have been welcome as a part of his followers. It didn't matter to him whether you had sight or whether you didn't have sight. It didn't matter to him whether you were rich or whether you were poor. He wanted everyone to be able to come to him and to be able to have life and to have rest for the struggles that they were going through in life. And so he issued this call. Come unto me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. All. Nothing matters. If you have committed atrocities and sins in your life, Jesus is offering to you forgiveness and a peace that the world can't possibly give, as Ryan so beautifully sang about. If you have been rejected by people and rejected by organizations and groups, and Jesus goes, man, none of that matters. Come to me, and I will give you rest. I want to share with you this morning out of this particular passage just four things, and we'll kind of move quickly through this. But I want to share with you, first of all, the extent of Christ's call. We do see it in that 28th verse. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus is saying here that there's no one who's too poor to be able to come to his kingdom. There is no one who is too ignorant, who is too unlearned to be welcome into his kingdom. He is saying there is no one who is too sinful that they can't be reached by the grace of God. He is saying that there is no one who is too young, but that they are all welcomed as well to come into the kingdom of God and to be a part of his kingdom. And there is no one who is too old. All are welcome. And so he is extending this call of life in him to absolutely everyone. You know, some of us in life have had those messages fed to us that, you know, we're just not good enough. We're just not the kind of people that should be able to come into the kingdom of God or to come into the church. I was talking with a gentleman just this week. And as we were in my office and we were talking about struggles in life, I told him that he needed to give his heart and his life to Jesus totally and completely and unreserved. And he says, Pastor, you don't understand. Jesus doesn't want a person like me. I'm not worthy to come into the presence of Christ. And my response to him was, but he's invited you. He has asked you to come and to be a part of his family. He has asked you to give your life to him and that he will bring about great change and he will help you. He will forgive everything that you've ever done. He will cleanse you, and he will give you strength to be able to live for him. He invites you. Some of us have not had the greatest families in our lives. And yet Jesus looks beyond that to the heart. And He sees potential. And He sees opportunity. Some of us have behaved in horrible ways in this world and have committed atrocious sins. But Jesus looks beyond that and He sees the potential for life. And He says, come. Come. Some of us have sensed the rejections that come from society. And He says, come to Me. I will give you rest. You see, He is extending the call of life to every one of us. It doesn't matter where we've been, what we've done, who we are. But He loves us. And He invites us to be a part of His family. We'll take just a moment and let's pray and thank God for the amazing privilege of the invitation that He has offered to each of us. Let's pray just a moment. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for the fact that You look beyond our faults and You see our needs. Jesus, thank You for Your willingness to bring us into Your family and to give us life. Jesus, we thank You for the fact that You died for us in order that You might produce change in us. Lord, thank You for loving us even when others don't. Now, Father, help us to come to You without question, without reservation. And we'll give You thanks. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen. The second thing I want to share with you is that Christ can issue this call because of who He is. It's because of His authority. Not only does He issue the call because of our need and who we are, but He issues us the call because of who He is. And that's His great privilege. He can invite us to be a part of His family even when no one else invites us. I remember sharing my testimony here several times and mentioning the fact that in growing up, I grew up a very short distance from an evangelical church. And it was less than a mile from my home to that evangelical church. And in the 19 years that we had lived there, no one ever called on our family to invite us to Jesus. To invite us to be a part of their church. You see, we weren't exactly the kind of folks that people wanted to have in their church. But Jesus wanted us. And there came that point where Jesus spoke clearly to my heart. Because He had the authority to be able to do that. When everyone else rejects you, Jesus wants you. When everyone else pushes you aside, Jesus sees value in you. When everyone else considers you to be nothing, Jesus sees in you what you can be and what He wants you to be. Because of His authority. You see, He created us. And so that makes us special. He created us, according to the Scriptures, a little lower than the angels now. But He's promised that we will be just like Him when we get to heaven. He has created us as individuals and has given us a unique identity with Him if we'll give our hearts and our lives to Him. He offers to us a relationship with Him that no one else will have. The Word of God tells us that when we get to heaven, that God's going to give us a stone with a name written on it, known only to Him and us. A personal identity that He's going to have with us that no one else is going to have. Man, that ought to make us feel special. That God cares that much that He personally identifies with each one of us in a way that He'll not identify with anyone else. What a blessing that is from God's hand. You see, He can issue this call because of who He is. And because He has followed through with the plan of redemption, He died on the cross for us. He rose from the dead for us. He ascended back to the Father, and He sent the Holy Spirit to come and indwell us, to speak to us, to convict us of sin, to convince us of righteousness, to convince us of the truth of who God is and the truth of who we are apart from God, and then of the truth of who we can be in Christ. That's amazing authority, and no one else has that. He can issue the call to life in Him because of His authority. He is Creator. He's the giver of life. He is the sustainer of life. He is the King of all creation. He is the God who speaks and worlds are formed. And He loves us. What an amazing, amazing gift. But number three is an area that troubles me. Because there are those who simply reject this call to life. He says, look, come to Me, all who are weary, who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. No matter what the pressure and the weight of sin in your life is, I invite you to come. But there are those who will make excuses for rejecting the call of God. I'm going to be honest with you, I don't understand it. I think I've shared with you the very first time that I ever heard that God loved me and really cared, that He was willing to forgive me. I received Jesus Christ. Because I thought, man, if there's a God who would do that for me, I wanted to know Him. And it just baffles my mind that people will reject time after time after time after time the offer of the grace of Christ, the offer of the call to come to know Him. And they'll just reject. Some people will do it for social reasons. Well, if my friends would only make that decision, then I would make that decision. They think that, you know, for some reason, the only friends in the world they're allowed to have are the ones who are sinners. They're not allowed to be friends with God. And that somehow God will not change their friends either. And so some people think that you know, if I'm going to keep a social life here, my social life is more important. You know, that's why I spend five nights a week in the bar. Got to have that socialization. That's why they live their lives doing things apart from the grace of God, because they're afraid that God is going to require of them a real change, and He will. But a real change, and that somehow they'll become miserable when God has come to give rest. He has come to give peace and joy. He has come to give love. But they'll reject for social reasons. Some will reject because of educational reasons. Paul was writing, and he talked about the foolishness of preaching. And to the highly educated, that's exactly what preaching is. It's foolishness. But Jesus said, or Paul said, that it's the power of God unto salvation. Through the foolishness of preaching, God speaks to the hearts of individuals. The Holy Spirit moves upon their lives and convicts of sin and convinces of righteousness. That the Holy Spirit Himself speaks to the life and says, you know that Jesus Christ is truth and in Him is no falsehood. But there are those who believe that somehow life is through intelligence. And that's not where life comes. Life comes through repentance and submission to God. Life comes by our seeking a relationship with God, who has said, you shall seek me and you'll find me when you search with your whole heart. With the very essence of who you are, seek me and you'll find me. There's not an educational institution in the world that can give you life. Only Jesus can do that. Come unto me, all you who are weary and are weighed down, and I'll give you rest. But some reject because they say that's foolishness. But through the foolishness of preaching, life is given. Because the Holy Spirit speaks through the Word of God, which is the power of God, to bring the righteousness of God to the heart of the individual. Simple faith is the key that unlocks life. There are those as well who reject because of business reasons. You know, I'll lose my whole clientele if I give my heart and my life to Jesus Christ. God will open up other doors. He'll open up other businesses. He'll open up other opportunities for you to be able to provide for your family, to provide for yourself. Because He's not going to see the righteous begging for bread, but He is instead going to provide in great ways. So don't use any excuses for rejecting Christ's call. When He speaks to you, open your heart. And let the Holy Spirit of God Himself come and make changes. The good news is that, number four, there are some reasons to listen to God's call, to the call of Christ to come to Him, all who are weary and heavy laden, and He will give you rest. You see, Christ promises that He will carry our burdens. He will be the one who takes the heavy stuff of life and He'll take care of it. Every sin we've committed, He'll wash away. Those things that weigh us down in life or to pull us back in life, He'll take care of those things. He's promised that. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. I will take on your burden and simply give you a burden that is light, that can be carried. And so He promises to bear our burdens. And that's one reason for listening to Christ's call. The second reason for listening to that call is that He promises us rest for our souls. We don't have to struggle with what is truth and what is righteousness anymore. We simply give our hearts and our lives to Him. And He shows us and teaches us and leads us and guides us into all faith and into all righteousness. He cares that much for us. And He replaces the burdens of life with joy and with peace. The next reason that we should listen to the call of Christ is that He will make us useful in this life. You know, a lot of people go through life struggling to make big bucks. And you know, there's not going to be $1 in heaven. Not $1. Every bit of earthly wealth that you seek for, every bit of it, is going to be gone when you die. A fairly young man died this past week who was the creator of Apple and the iPhone and all of these great accomplishments, tremendous amount of wealth, tremendous amount of intelligence. I don't know where he stood in his faith. I have no idea. But if he hadn't trusted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, not a bit of that wealth, not a bit of that intelligence will give him life. And so all 56 years, I believe it was, all 56 years that he lived will have been wasted if he didn't have life. But if he had life, and if he shared that faith with other people, every individual who came to know Christ because of his faithfulness to God, he's going to take them to heaven. They're going to be a part of the eternal kingdom. Folks, this world's stuff is useless at the moment of death. It's useless. And I know that we have to provide living for our families. But to the acquiring of many goods, Solomon said, it's insanity. We should pay attention to that. When we come to Christ, He gives us a usefulness. Share your faith. Share your love for Christ. And find life. Because that is the ultimate reason for listening to the call of Christ to come, that you'll have eternal life. Come unto me, all you who are weary and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I'll give you life. I'll give you hope. I'll give you a future. I'll give you eternity. I'll give you my kingdom. I'll give you everything. When we become followers of Jesus Christ, we become joint heirs with Him. All of God's kingdom is ours. Don't use excuses. Repent of your sin. Receive Christ as your Savior and have life. Let's stand. I'm going to ask you, if you would, please take your hymnal. Open up to number 327. Number 327. The song is Jesus is Calling. Is Jesus calling you today? All who will come to me, I will in no wise cast out, he tells us. All who will come. And if you're here today and you'd have to sense that, you know, I'm not what God wants me to be. I'm not His child. He says to you, come, all you who are weary, who are sick of yourselves, sick of the burdens of this life, all you who are weary, come, I will give you rest. Why not find rest for your soul today? While He's calling, why don't you step out and come and receive life? I would love to pray with you and introduce you to Jesus today. So if He's speaking to your heart, please step out and come as we sing number 327.